Let's continue. It began here some 2 weeks ago. I've spoken of the same over the years, but, you know, revelation increases if you're pursuing God. Thank you, Ms. Ruth. Revelation increases, and we continued it last Wednesday of praying from God's presence, praying from God's presence. And I said, this one statement I want to revisit again. I said, when we practice entering into God's presence and praying from this place, we become more like Him. In fact, I didn't say that last time. When you practice entering into God's presence and praying from this place, we become more like Him. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, it says, be holy, for I'm holy. Be holy, for I'm holy. That's 1 Peter 15 and 16 says, but as he who called is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it's written, be holy, for I'm holy. And in 2 Corinthians 3:16-18, the Passion Translation is so good. Passion Translation. It says, the whole of it, you have to read it from the beginning of chapter 3 or to see the wonders of it. But in verse 16, it says, but the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Now, the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. And wherever He is Lord, there is what? Freedom. You know, the King James calls it what? Liberty. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then he says this, we can all draw close to Him with a veil removed from our faces. That's right, just a place to say hallelujah. We can all draw close to Him. Not some few. We can all draw close to Him. If we mix faith with these words, we can all draw close to Him with a veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. We keep looking at Him. Veil having been removed. And now we're looking at Him. Remember, church, we are spirit beings and have a soul and live in a physical body. Then you have to look at Him with the eyes of faith. The Bible says you have spiritual eyes. You better believe that. And you better say, like I say, have eyes to see, have ears to hear. And to me, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So you start looking at Him by faith, drawing to Him by faith. Of course, you've looked at this scripture over and over again. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he says, chapter 4, verse 14 says, therefore, seeing that we have a great high priest. I want to see Him by faith. And I can go to the book of Revelation and start looking at Him. You're talking about His eyes like flames of fire. His face shining like the sun shining in his full what? Full strength. Yeah, full strength. In His full strength. I sat looking at Him, and I sat looking at Him by faith. I remember telling the Lord, maybe more than once, but I remember the first time I told Him, Lord, if You didn't want Me to create an image in my mind and in my heart concerning how You look, You could not have told me in the book of Revelation. John, in the book of Revelation, say how the Lord looks. Because I believe we ought to create that image inside of us by the Holy Spirit until we can experience His presence. We be just like Him. The radiant, the reflection of His glory. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then he says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. If we hadn't made a way for us to enter into his presence, he could not have said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That means the way into his presence is open. And I've said over and over again, and this is what I've kept repeating this in prayer, that when you pray from his presence, it's a place of authority. When you pray from his presence, it's a place of authority. I call that is praying from the heavenly realm of God to earth, to the earth. Why would I say that? Look at this, church. Jesus said that I don't say anything except that which I've heard from the Father. I don't even do anything except that which I see from the Father. He was a man, 100% man, and 100% God. But he's saying to us that if you are going to operate by the Spirit and in the kingdom of God, then you have to receive from the Father and walk according to that pattern. So him says, I don't do anything, I don't say anything. He's saying, the words that I'm speaking to you, they're heavenly. They're my Father's words. They're not earthly. In fact, he says he's from above, he's above all. I'm speaking heavenly words to the earth. And heaven words are the ones that are making a change on earth, because he even told his disciples, you pray this way, that the will of God be done, and what is in heaven may be done on earth. Not what is on earth be done in heaven, but what is in heaven be done on earth. How has that been transferred? By that spirit of wisdom and revelation. That we speak from that realm. I do believe with all my heart, and this is the truth, that which destroys the kingdom of darkness and every hindrance of the devil is when believers, the church, are able to hear the words of the Father by the spirit of wisdom and revelation and speak them on the earth, in the earthly realm. The devil feels the fire of it. He knows him. He knows how powerful he is. He knows this man. Jesus defeated him completely and he has no power whatsoever before his presence. So that's why I encourage you that we have to practice entering into God's presence. And more than that, like he told me some few years ago, that now that you have learned how to enter into my presence, I want you to know to learn how to abide. That makes the whole difference. Why is that? We've become the Ark of the Covenant. And we go everywhere carrying his presence. What did he say? He says, and this is what shall be of the new covenant. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. What is he saying? This is my moving mobile tabernacle. He knew you're coming to a place of technology when you'll be carrying mobile phones, so you needed to be a mobile tabernacle too. So then, when we practice that, entering into his presence, we will know what pleases him and what grieves his heart. That's critical. Don't you want to know what pleases him? Don't you want to know what grieves his heart? What do we say many times? Okay, I know from the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. That's fine, but I can have it mentally, but it's not a revelation. But in his presence, that becomes a reality. It's a reality. It's my reality. I want to know what pleases him, and I want to know what grieves his heart. In essence, I want to walk in step with him. I want to do his will. I want to be just like him. What is the whole reason of praying and fasting? That's the main reason. That we may know him, that we may humble ourselves, that we may turn from our natural operations and thinking, and start pursuing him, that we may know him. Apostle Paul just crying and say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We will know the true spirit of holiness, because holiness outside his Holy Spirit is legalism. We will know the true spirit of holiness, because holiness outside his Holy Spirit is legalism. You will not know true holiness until you come into his presence. You'll not. All the others are do's and don'ts. And this is just legalities, legalism. But when you come to his presence and we start knowing what grieves him and what gives him pleasure and what grieves him, oh my goodness, we want to be just like him. Nothing else matters. I want him. I've had to think about and even think about my theology quite a bit, because when I gave my life to Christ, I knew I'd been touched by God. No one told me, go, don't drink alcohol. No one told me that. Don't go now smoking that sportsman or don't carry it in your pocket. I'd just been touched by his presence. And then the fifth day, he spoke to me so clearly. It was so clear. I had him. You couldn't have told me the following day of don't go trying, do this, or don't go chasing after girls again. Look at you, so holy. I used to. No. The man who died on 17th June 1996 used to. He died. Then after that, I chased after one girl, bled by the Holy Ghost, and I got married to her. You see what I'm talking about. But no one told me that. I believe, let me make this statement here. Holy, that word holy, is the language of heaven. It's the language of heaven. The spirit of the world is complete opposite of that word holy. There's no holiness in the world. The spirit of the world doesn't talk about holiness. And if religion talks about holiness, it's legalism. Because religion doesn't know God's presence. We've been brought into God's presence, church, through the precious blood of the Son, Jesus Christ. We must then learn how to take our ascended position in Christ, that we may know the heavenly holiness. Listen. Heaven is our standard. Heaven is our standard. Our citizenship, that in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is of heaven, is in heaven. Heaven is our standard. In talking about influence in prayer and influence in this area, and praying for the churches around here, around this area, to rise up. And literally, than ever before, I'm praying for the pastors around here. Every one of them. In fact, I don't know all of them, but the ones I know, I just keep lifting them up to the Lord in this area. But I've thought about this. I think I'm going ahead of myself. If we release ourselves to the place that we can host his presence, it will affect all this area. It will affect your life like a mobile tabernacle of God. It will affect everything else that we do. And that's why we have to come to the understanding in entering into his presence, and that we may know that the standard of holiness is heaven. Our standard of holiness is heaven itself. And Jesus has made a way for us to enter into God's presence. It is his presence that he has brought us, that we may worship him in spirit and in truth. It is his holy presence. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, 23. I think I want to read it from the Passion Translation. Let's have it over there. And now we, brothers and sisters, brothers, sister, in God's family. Oh, you're shouting this evening. Praise God. My goodness, you're loud. Are you loud this way in the office today? And now we, brothers and sisters in God's family, because of the blood of Jesus, And he does what? Welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm. Welcome. Can you imagine Jesus said, welcome. Welcome. We're welcome to, you're welcome. He's welcome us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. Why is that so? Because the way of holiness has been made for us. The path of God for us to live a true holy life. Heaven is our standard. Is that wonderful? Would you have that scripture? Just going before the Lord all the time, you know, God, you've welcomed me. Can you imagine you coming, you know, to the house and Tina and I say, you're welcome because you had given you an invitation. Say, no, I'm not worthy. You're welcome. No, I don't know. Let me remove my shoes or I'll stay right here. I don't think I'm clean to enter in. Sometimes believers, we act that way. Yet God has made a way for us. How much he's loved us. He loves us. He's brought us into his presence. He wants us to enjoy the best. Listen, we can't have true ministry unto him if we don't receive revelation of who we are. We'll come back there. But let's go back. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. He loves me. He loves me. Yes, he does. He does love me. Now look at this. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they did what? Ministered to the Lord and fasted. If we really don't know who we are and we don't pursue that and to take time in his presence so that he may reveal to us, we won't be able to minister to him. Let me say something. You know, if you have someone that you relate with, let me use the word relate, but, let me put this, I think this one will make it so clear. If, let's say, as a man, a young man, feels like he's so inferior to approach a certain lady, they can never have a relationship. In fact, the lady drives whatever you think of. And the guy has parked whatever you can think of much lower. So he feels so inferior to come around this girl. Will they really have a relationship? But listen to this. They come to a place that he knows who he is. He'll be unmoved. That's the way I did. I was not moved. I had the Lord and I started moving that direction. I thought, I'm going there. I was boldly coming to this lady when I've come from a place with no bed. Now, you haven't even eaten and you are believing God to marry. You haven't even had lunch. Not that you're fasting, but you haven't even eaten. That's boldness. That's revelation knowledge. That's a place that can only God can bring you to, that place that you can fellowship like equal. We are co-seated with him. Go there to, okay, let me say this. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. But they ministered to the Lord. We must always carry that spirit of humility and spirit of repentance before God. He is God. He has no equal. We should always carry that. But we should always have it also in our mind and in our hearts as revelation that God has made a way for us to talk to Him. We are co-seated with Christ. Go to Ephesians 2:6 again, and then we'll come back to Hebrews and 2:6 from the Passion Translation, please. You ready to jump? He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended, past tense, with Him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. It reminded me of on 24th of December, I was speaking in a church in my home area. The pastor called me on Saturday evening and he realized that I was around. He said, "Pastor," I said, "Yes, sir." Tomorrow. So go around, Nico. Kesho wapatie watoto wa Mungu chakula. "Pastor, I could tell you're so tired." I said, "That's fine." So I was called on 23rd night on Saturday and 24th morning. I was speaking in that church, a Christmas message. So anyway, so I've done here several times. I was speaking about, receiving what God has given you. And I had my 1,000 shillings and I just moving around with it. And they are all saying, "Amen, amen, amen." So I was with my niece, Faith, because she's known what I do. She ran quickly and she came and picked that 1,000 shillings. And the lady sitting next to her said, I wondered, why are you running too? The pastor said, "Oh, did I miss that 1,000 pop? I said, "You all are saying amen, amen, amen. And something is available for them to take." But they say, "Amen. It belongs to you." "Amen. It belongs to you." "Amen." And they never did anything. Probably if my niece didn't come to this church and know what to do, probably, because she's seen me doing that in the past, probably I could have returned my 1,000 shillings in my pocket. I did. I thought, if I did the second time, the whole church will be happy, led by the pastor. Look at this. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with Him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. Authority of the heavenly realm. That's the authority we operate in. That's the authority we pray from. Authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now, co-seated as one with Christ. Will you go there, please, to 1 Corinthians 6:17, the same version. Oh, we have a few minutes here. I want us to start praying. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with Him. Mingle, one spirit with Him. Is that wonderful? I remember years ago, that should have been 2001, I was praying and the Lord has spoken to me clearly in my heart through the Word and the Spirit. And He made it so clear. And He kept revealing Himself to me concerning what He wanted me to do. And then at some point, I asked Him, "Lord," because I'd had believers say this, "You must have a confirmation. Someone has to confirm what God is speaking to you." I said, "Okay. Lord, you've been speaking to me all this time. I need a confirmation." You know the confirmation you are looking for? You've ever heard of that? Confirmation? Listen, this is what He told me. I remember where I was in Dandora. He told me, "You don't need any. You already have." What? How? He said this, "You have come into my presence and you have mingled with my presence until you've started realizing my desire and my purpose for you. The one that you have in your heart is no longer your desire, it's my desire. I said, Lord, I need to see that from the scripture. And he started showing me from John chapter 8, and I won't go into the details of it. Mingling into one spirit with him. I said, when you all know how to ascend in entering into his presence, we start seeing things the way he sees them. Come up higher, that I may show you things that will take place after this. And John, in the book of Revelation, you're seeing, he saw the new Jerusalem and the new earth. Why? Because he knew he came into God's presence. You say that's a vision. Yes, but we have the vision. Do you have the vision? Yes, we have the word and the spirit. It creates vision inside of us, and we get clarity concerning God's purposes. If we take time long enough in his presence, we'll start seeing as he sees. It's a place of ascendancy. What's the word I'm looking for? It's a place of vantage. Vantage English is English? You okay. Does it make you English majors? It's a place of vantage. We're able to see from that place, and we are seeing clearly. Far above all principality and power and dominion and might. Where does the fast come in? How does it come in? Taking time in his presence. Let's go back to our Hebrews. Hebrews, the one we were in, chapter 10. The ones that these people shouted about and shouted until we had to stop for some few minutes. Why are you looking at me that much, Miss Ruth? Oh, you're focused. Yeah. You need some water, girl. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he does what? He welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. Hallelujah! Look at that, what follows next. And since we now have a magnificent high priest welcome us into God's presence. He's the one who's standing before the presence of the Father and say, welcome, I made a way for you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And since we now have a magnificent high priest welcome us into God's presence, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that we are nothing, that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside out. Wrapping, almost wrapping now. Come on now. So now wrap your heart right around the hope that is in thee. Know that God always keeps his promises. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's exciting right there. Come on, young person, you want to make a rap? Hey, Kevin, you can rap that song. Now rap. Your heart can turn around the God. A glimpse within on the God always keeps his promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! That's us! That's the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? Is that exciting? That we don't pray from afar. Oh, I need to go back slowly. I'm almost rapping and running. Let's go back there to where we began. Verse 19, I think we are reading. Now, brothers and sisters, okay? Go the next one, please. For he has dedicated a new life, giving way for us to approach God. Remember, he says, there's a scripture that says, an approachable God. Forgetting that. An approachable God. It's what? What am I looking for? It's just an approachable light. But he has made us children of that light, then we can approach him. that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We can approach him. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us fresh, free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us, think about this, to usher us into God's presence or God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. Hallelujah. Is that wonderful? Nothing shall keep us at a distance from him. Nothing. And Apostle Paul says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. We realize that in his presence, not in the legalities, not in the do's and don'ts. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood. You must have faith in the blood. You must put faith in the blood. We must have faith in the blood and believe that. And to remove impurity. And we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean. Say it. Now I'm clean. Woo! Praise God. Remember Jesus says, you've been made clean by the words that I've spoken to you. Now I am clean. Now we are clean. Unstained. Let's say it. Now I'm clean. Now I am clean. Unstained. Unpresentable to God. Inside out. Begins from the inside. And comes outside. The work of the Spirit inside. That now outside. We start now. The old King James calls it conversation. Our character. Is that it? So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. He loves me. He loves me. He's made a way for me. He loves us. He loves you. Now then, sisters and brothers, manifest presence of God. Convict men of their sins quickly. And bring them to submission to him. Why would I say manifest presence? That us, we need to carry the presence of God that will convict men of their sins and bring them to Christ quickly. And that's what I was talking about. Our presence here should impact people all around. I listened to a testimony recently. I won't tell you which one. Probably some of you have listened to it. Of a certain man was delivered from sorcery. And he says this, that he lived in Uganda. He said that one time he was in high level of sorcery. I think he was in charge of northern from Tanzania going up to North Africa, in charge of all witches. All right? So that's high level. So anyway, he said, this really excited me. Oh, we said one time, Brother Cerulo, Maurice Cerulo, was going to Uganda. And that's the first encounter of something bigger than what he knew. He had all the powers. He says when Maurice Cerulo was going to Uganda, I think that was 1995, they were told, you need to go away 20 kilometers? 70. Is it 70? Yeah? Okay. 70 kilometers away. If you stay around there, you either die or you are converted. He thought, what? 70 kilometers. And after he has left for 21 days, don't go back there because His presence is still there to either kill you or convert you. I thought that's wonderful. Now, church, this is a radius of 2 kilometers. What are we supposed to be doing? Isn't that wonderful? I've meditated on that. I thought, it's a radius of 2 kilometers. That no Airbnb murder around here, because we're around here. Huh? No rape. No mugging. No name it. Darkness of any kind around here completely, because we, as members of the body of Christ who have a revelation of the presence of God, are gathering here. When we meet on Sunday, they say, we don't know when the next time we are trying to meet. They try to meet, they can't, because we are meeting again on Wednesday. They try again, they can't. We're meeting on Friday. That is something. You're bigger than you know. Ah, that's wonderful. It's worth saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah for. And listen, the manifest presence of God convict men of their sins quickly and bring them to submission to him. We should be drawn so much to him. Listen this. We should be drawn so much to him until from the depths of our hearts there's a deep cry, oh, that I may be just like you in everything. Drawn to him, drawn to his presence, until our cry, I want to be just like you in everything. This is what will bring us effective spiritual warfare, because we will know God's holiness. And we want to host his presence right here. This earthly tabernacle. Amen. Now, before we pray, do you have that video ready? You have it ready? All right, let me watch this. This is Pastor David Yongicho. He went to be the Lord some 2 years ago, I think. He had a church of what? Over 750,000 members in South Korea. But I found it the other day. Was it on Wednesday night after prayer? Sat down as having some vegetables and watched. I found a clip. I thought, let me watch. What did he say about prayer? He said something that those things he said are worth listening to. All right, you have them? You have that ready? Go ahead, please. Pay attention to that.
Prayer is the key to build our Christian personality. Prayer is key to build a happy home. And also prayer is the key to the great revival. Every day, like a drawing person, try to gasp air. So I'm trying to gasp through prayer to receive more anointing from the Lord. Because to meet the challenge of every day of my ministry, I need a tremendous amount of anointing, peace of God, wisdom of God, understanding of God, and knowledge of God, might and discerning of God. And to receive that kind of God's peace, joy, might, I should pray. Without prayer, I can't get that kind of anointing from the Lord. So I am desperate every day. I'm a desperate person. If I don't pray, I can't carry out my work, because I'm constantly under tremendous pressure and stress that my heart would be stirred up and I would lose the peace, and then I would not have the joy and might and strength to carry out work of the Lord. So, since I should carry on all of this work, I need a special anointing and mind of peace, might, and wisdom. Where do I get all of those things on my knee. Usually I would pray for 5 hours every day. I would wait upon the Lord. Nowadays, I become a little lazy and my knee is painful. So I would kneel down and pray for 3 hours. But actually, every moment I'm spending my days in the mood of the prayer, constantly asking God to anoint me, constantly fight against the hindrance of devil. And through God's anointing, I can carry out this work. And God showed me the way how to pray. Many people ask me question, how could you pray for 5 hours? What do you say? Through the CGI conference, when I invite so many American, European pastors, I would take them to Prayer Mountain. And I bring them to a prayer room and close the door. And they say, you can't move out of this door before you pray 1 hour. So let's start. And about 5 or 10 minutes, American or European pastors, they pray fervently. But after that, they sit around and just only say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because they have not learned the technique of prayer. In prayer, you need technique. You see the soldier, when they enlist in a boot camp, they learn the technique how to fight. Soldier can't become soldier without receiving training. So in prayer, you need training and you need to learn technique. So God has helped me to develop many, many techniques. I say that prayer jogging course, 30 minutes prayer jogging course, 1 hour prayer jogging course, 2 to 3, then marathon prayer jogging course. You can pray all night, but still you would have many things to speak. People, they run out of the language or they become tedious, so they can't keep on praying.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. After 5-10 minutes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's funny. How many hours? How busy are you? If you are so busy, you need more hours in prayer. If you are such a busy person, you need more hours in prayer. Seriously. No wonder. Are you seeing how much we need to get into the Word and prayer? In fact, for us, we're teaching ministry. So you've had too much Word and prophecies that you need to pray them out. It will take time. It will take you lingering in His presence. You can go find that clip. It's so fun. I laughed alone, especially when he said 5-10 minutes, and they said, hallelujah, looking around, hallelujah, hallelujah. I laughed until Tina had it. The bedroom, I say, honey, you need to come and watch this with me. Hallelujah. Are we ready to pray this evening? Do you have your prayer and fasting guide? Let me check out something here. I want us, again, as I've already shared, to enter into God's presence. I want you to be conscious of His presence. Completely. If you came feeling tired, I'm telling you, after this time of prayer, you'll feel so strong. I want you to listen to the Lord. I want you to pray with an intention of listening to the Lord. And this evening, we fast from their prayer and fasting guide, we humble ourselves before the Lord. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, the Word of God says, then we humble ourselves. Listen to this. Again, you will not know your infirmities and areas that you should deeply repent of and truly repent. Repent is turning completely if you don't know how to enter into God's presence. You must come into His presence. Like we read that scripture from the book of Hebrews, that's so powerful. We must enter into His presence until His presence just starts cleansing us and making us whole. And with that, we get boldness. I find that Isaiah chapter 6 so wonderful. when he says, in the day, the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he says, he saw the glory of God, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And he says, woe unto me, for I'm unclean lips, and I stay among people with unclean lips. And then after that, a seraphim came from the presence of God. He had holy, holy, holy. That's holiness now. And he's convicted of sin. He also told you have sin. He was convicted of his sin. And after that sin was removed from him, he said, oh, go for us. He said, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm bold now. I'm no longer a gossiper. I've been delivered from gossiping with the call of fire. Hallelujah. Where is that coming from? It's coming from the presence of God. Even that call of fire came from where? From God's presence. Listen, naturally you cannot be forgiven. But if you go in the spirit of realm, you start receiving that forgiveness. That fire burnt his lips. And he's one of the major prophets in the Bible, if not the major prophet of the Bible. Burn his lips completely. That pro, if he tried to gossip, his lips will burn at that moment. Can you imagine? That it's no longer a sin in his life. He's whole. He's been delivered. He's been set free. That's God's presence. So quickly then, the prayer guide. Now then I'll tell you, our target this evening is to pray, still to praying for this area, praying for pastors in this area, for these churches. Let's pray from the heavenly realm. Pray for an awakening, Garden Estate, Dome, and the surrounding areas. And we establish our place in the spirit realm, which I'd said earlier on, that we must then learn how to take our ascended position. You remember Ephesians 2:6? Our ascended position in Christ, that we may know this heavenly holiness, or this, if I can use another word there, that we may know this heavenly authority. We speak to darkness from that place of authority. Is that clear? All right. So then, from the prayer, in the prayer guide, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think that will be paragraph 6. We need to be aware of the power of God in us and for us. You see on the screen. So that we may not limit him. He will open doors for us. What is the whole purpose for this? For people coming into the kingdom of God, church. For people being born again. For all of them to come to victory of faith. No, that's why we are praying for these pastors all around. So we must know... Where are we? We need to be aware of the power of God in us and for us so that we may not limit him. He will open doors for us if we trust him and do what? Break every barrier that the enemy will try to place before us. Every barrier. This is taking new territories for God and occupying them. Who in essence will be occupying them? God, because we are his people. Remember, brothers and sisters, now we are God's what? Family. So he's occupying them. Our redemption in Christ is hinged on God's love and goodness to us. And that's what has brought us into the kingdom of God. And don't go farther than that. All right? You see that? So I want us to pray for this area. I wanted to get into the presence of God and just ascend in that place of authority. And let's see the glory of God filling this area. At least, 5 kilometers, radius of 5 kilometers, that every time we gather and every time, and they know that there's the presence of God all the time there. The cloud does not disappear by night, and the cloud by day, and the fire by night. It's always there around that area. And it's not always just around the church compound. It's extended now. So extended. That's taking territories for Christ. That's a bigger vision than, oh, Father, I pray for my house in Kamulu. And I pray, Father, for my little cousin, the one who's also wanting to get married. Father, if you can, he can get married this year. And I pray, Father, if you give me that plot in Kamulu, I can get another one, Father. It will be for me, though, but I'll pray from it. You'll give it to me at another place also, God. Thank you, Father, for Kitengela there. Well, I pray that way. Brother Francis calls it kaplot. All right. All right. Stand up on your feet. Let us have that prayer and us in unit. The prayer for this week, please. And I will not have a microphone praying, but I want us to pray in the spirit. You can be free moving around, but you can kneel if you want to. But I want us to ascend into that presence of God. Do you have it, please, the prayer? And fasting, repentance and consecration to him. Let's pray it out together. I don't want to say just read it. Let's pray it out together. Let's lift our hands to him. Father, I thank you for the privilege of belonging to you through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I come in humility before you, asking you to forgive me for all my sins. Forgive me in every area of my life that I have grieved your spirit and limited you. I ask you to forgive me for any error in my life. I draw upon your mercy and grace in this time of need. I consecrate my life to you for your purposes. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, so that you may use it to your glory. I choose to serve you in sincerity and truth, to walk in love and believe you to use my life for your purposes. I put my trust in the blood of Jesus, thanking you for your help as I seek you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just lift your hands to him. Father, this is our desire. These are not just words. It's our desire. It's what we want to see, Father. And we give these vessels to you even this evening as we pray. We're praying for this area, Father, humbling ourselves, repenting even, asking you for forgiveness for the atrocities, murders around here and thefts and prostitution and everything that represents the kingdom of God around this area. We are your people, Father. Our influence as the church, Victory Faith Church and other churches around here should be felt and should be known by all people around here. So, Father, we come to you because, Jesus, our Lord, you've made a way for us. We come. We come in that place of authority. We come into your presence believing you for utterance, believing you for hearing ears, perceiving hearts, that will utter the words of heaven around this garden estate, Dome, and the surrounding areas. That will speak your will and declare your will and bring down principalities and powers of darkness and bring down the will of the enemy and build and plant the kingdom of God in this area. So, Father, take these vessels. Thank you for your presence in this house. Thank you for the precious blood. There's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we condemn. We bind the devil. We bind the work of darkness. We charge angels all around here. And thank you, Lord. Go share everybody. Go ahead and be free, please. Go ahead and draw from his presence. Shobrem redam engreste mandistando ridiste di bangro sede bakaye di bakasada. Keste di basto dose di bakeke da mandia. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. That's something I've heard from the Lord, but I want to ask you, anyone who've heard some specific instruction from the Lord you want to share with us? Please quickly. All right, Leah, can I have this microphone? Can I help? Please give it to her. Praise God. Thank you, Father.
When I was praying, I had an impression.
Can you have this microphone
heart?
On, please? It's on, but can you turn it on from the other side? Go ahead.
When I was praying, I had an impression in my heart that when I'm lifted up, I'll draw men to myself. And I asked in my spirit. Okay, when I was praying, I had an impression in my heart that when I'm lifted up, I'll draw men nigh to me. And I asked the Lord, how do we always lift you up through songs, through prayer. But he gave me an example of the Israelites when the snake was put on the cross and they were told to focus on the cross. He told me that that is how he wants us to be. We focus the way they focused on the cross and they were healed. That's why he wants us to, when we lift him up, he wants us, we focus on him and he will draw men nigh to him.
Someone else? No one? Please. Anyone?
All right.
Thank you, Leah. Let me share with you something over here. I don't use this word, so I know it came from the Lord. I've heard it being used so much in our nation, and I don't use it. But the Lord spoke to me by his Spirit regarding this. He said, call down the fire from heaven to consume all altars that have been lifted up around here, that have been lifted up around here. Like Elijah called down fire from heaven, called the fire of God to destroy all those altars, and let one altar be lifted up. Jesus, the true worship. Carol, you really agree that? Why did you hear the same thing and you didn't say anything? Come over here. Now I command you, I join you.
Praise God. Oh, please forgive me when it comes to God. We give glory to God. I agree with you, Pastor. As I was praying, I was just declaring that our God is a consuming fire. And that he consumes, the fire of God comes down and consumes every evil, everything that is hidden, that light be, and that it removes every darkness, every dark altars, everything that has been planted that is not of God is plucked out in the mighty name of Jesus. That is his presence penetrates and removes everything that is evil that has been planted, every altar that has been lifted. So when you say it, I was like, you know, Sam, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me for, I think I'll call it fear. But yeah. I had that. But
you had the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why you move by faith. That's fine. And I know several of you, I sense such presence of God here, Sam. Over here, here, Sam. Thank you, Carol. I know several of you have heard the Lord. But the thing is this, many times you're not sure. Until you step out. That's okay. We grow. But you have to be stepping out. Yes, Jackson.
Yes. Pastor, as I was praying there, Jeremiah 1:10, I was praying through that scripture when we were praying around this place. Yeah. And when you mentioned that, it's agreed with Jeremiah 1:10.
Yeah.
It says, NLT, today I appoint you to stand up against nations and the kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. Like you've been saying, we need to destroy the works of the enemy around here, and we build up, like you have been saying, we pray, we strengthen, we build up the churches around here. The Bible says that the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, that's what was meant.
Thank you, Jackson. Thank you. I don't know if this is consistent with that. Call the fire of God to consume the waters. I want you to First Kings chapter 18. I always ask the Lord, you must show me from the scriptures. You've told me, but you must show me from the scriptures. Start reminding me of that. There was famine in the land because they were not, the true altar of God was not lifted up. In other words, what does altar represent? A place of sacrifice, a place of sacrifice, a place of worship. The old covenant is a place of worship. Then, and you can read in your own time, but then he says in verse 32, then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seers of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bulls in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it into the burnt sacrifice on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did second time and do it a third time. And it continues in verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering. Remember, the false prophets have tried and nothing happened. But every false altar that have been lifted up around this area, it burns tonight. It's destroyed tonight. The fire from heaven, our God is a consuming fire. The fire from heaven is coming down and consuming those altars right now in the name of Jesus. And he says this, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and that I've done all this at your word. Hear ye me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. That's what you want. Hearts of men turned towards God's purposes and worship. No other God to be worshipped. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. It was licked up and it licked up the water that it was in the trench. Now when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Let's say it. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Let's say it again. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And what he did actually seized the prophets of Baal. And of course, none of them escaped. So I want us to lift up this. I want to pray. And I want you to agree with me. Please, under God, and stay as I pray. We pray. Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, who also is our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in your presence this evening. You have spoken to us. You have given us your word concerning your presence and your fire from heaven, consuming every altar that has been given over to Satan in the worship of Satan, idolatry. Father, we call forth the fire of God from heaven to consume every altar in this garden estate and Dome and the surrounding areas. Consume every altar with the fire of heaven to destroy it completely. Completely destroyed. We pull down, we destroy, we throw down every altar of the kingdom of darkness, and we build and plant the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. And right now, Father, we are calling forth churches around here for a true worship, that the true fire of God will burn the true altars. And when those altars are burned, there'll be more zeal for the kingdom of God, because in the new covenant, you've told us you'll baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. We call forth now the fire of God upon the churches, the fire of God the fire of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and fire upon every pastor in this area, upon every congregation in this area. We call forth the fire of God now upon those altars, every true altar, Father, of true worship. We call that fire of God, that the zeal of thine house may consume the pastors, that the zeal of thine house may consume every congregant, Father, around here, and every believer even living around here, Father. We ask you, Father, right now, and we thank you for your fire. We thank you for your fire. We thank you for your fire of true worship upon this altar, upon this whole compound, Father, having an impact to all this area, to the glory and honor of your name, that your people may fall down in true worship and say, the Lord, He is God. 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 The true God being worshipped around here. Father, we lift up the name of Jesus in this area. We lift up the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ in this area. We lift up all what you have done for us through your Son Jesus Christ in this area. And every other idol shall bow down to the greatness of your name. And Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for every utterance this evening. We thank you for every work of darkness that you've brought down through this utterance. We thank you for the establishing of the kingdom of God in this area. And Father, as we gather, even the churches around here this Sunday, may there be your fire being evident. May there be souls coming into the kingdom of God. May the pastors experience a fresh fire of your Spirit, Father, because of your faithfulness in keeping your promises. And we give you praise, Father, and all glory and honor for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give him a shout of praise? Hallelujah.